I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Cinco de Fivo
with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
And unlike the 2-year anniversary where we used to hit Cinco on time, we are 8 minutes late. Cinco and Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere. We've discussed it a lot today, the passing of Hulk Hogan. So I'm going to give you the top 5 moments from the Hulkster's career.
It's a good one.
Here we go.
Here we go!
Number 5.
The Mega Powers explode. WrestleMania 5, New Jersey, down the shore, Atlantic City, Trump Plaza. In my opinion, one of the great storylines they've ever done. We discussed it a little bit earlier with Hogan and Savage being jealous that Hogan is sort of guffawing over Miss Elizabeth. Savage turns on him. You know, he won the belt. He helped him earlier at 4, and then Hogan gets the belt back at 5.
Yep, classic match. Classic match. I own that VHS WrestleMania 5. Watched it about 112 times.
Well, wait a minute. You have Peacock now. Don't you just get rid of the VHSs?
I meant when I was a kid.
No, but you've gotten rid of them, I assume, now. They're not in your basement somewhere.
I don't have any VHSs. I don't know where they are. Yeah. I'm not sure if my parents kept it. I have no idea. But I owned 2 WrestleMania VHS tapes. WrestleMania 5 and WrestleMania 9.
I think
I watched them a million times.
Now would be less the tapes and more the machine.
Yeah, seriously.
Like, what the hell is playing it?
Right.
There's no way a VHS machine still works.
All right.
Here we go.
Number 4.
Hogan, as we know, went on to WCW, so he was gone from the WWFE for a while, but then he came back, and they formed, or not formed, but they brought in the NWO, and this is a two-parter. The match at Mania against Rock in Toronto, where everybody thought Hogan would get booed and The Rock would get cheered, and it was the direct opposite of that. Hogan was cheered. He almost was the babyface in the match. So it's the match and then the next night on Raw, which I believe was in Montreal, gets the 10-minute standing ovation through the break, through the commercial break. I have never seen that ever in wrestling. I don't think they thought he'd get that reaction to the point where he beats the son-in-law a month later. He beats Triple H, which nobody did back then, to win the belt.
Yeah, no, that was crazy. That WrestleMania was special, and it was booked so well. Like, because Hogan couldn't really move as well, but it's just the way they built that match, the way they drew it up, Rock versus Hogan at 18, that was tremendous.
Here we go.
Number 3,
Evan's dad in the building. At least I think he was in the building. At the Garden, he was not there.
For what?
What do you mean for what?
Beating the Iron Sheik?
He was not there for that?
No.
I thought he would sell posters outside, or not posters, programs. Outside
when he was young by that point, he was a father.
So a father can't go to a wrestling show and sell posters outside? Is that
No, he was a CPA. It was prior to his CPA.
Accountant, but okay, a CPA. Well, anyway, number 3 is Hulk Hogan winning the WWF title for the first time, beating the Iron Sheik. Hulkamania was born, and wrestling has never been the same since.
Yep, seen that clip a million times. Iron Sheik said he would humble Hulk Hogan. He said he would do a few other things. He didn't do it.
Yes.
Number 2.
Bash at the Beach, 1996. Whose side is he on?
Whose side is he on?
I could still hear Bobby Heenan saying Hulk Hogan betrayed WCW and Tony Schiavone saying, Hulk Hogan, you can go to hell. It was just, to me, that period of wrestling, we could argue the periods of wrestling is the best wrestling, the Monday Night Wars, and it was really, truly launched that night as Hogan joined the NWO. The coolest thing, in my opinion, in wrestling history is the New World Order.
And number 1.
Number 1.
Number 1.
WrestleMania 3. The irresistible force meets the immovable object, Hulk Hogan, in front of 90,000 people, body slams Andre the Giant to retain the title.
Very good. I mean, it's tough to argue with that list if we're picking positive Hulk Hogan moments. Like, if we were doing negative Hulk Hogan moments, then the list would look very different. But I agree with that. You know, slamming Andre.
Whose side is he on?
The heel turn, The Rock. The Warrior match was great. Even though I didn't like the outcome Tiki did when Warrior beat him at 6. That was tremendous.
The ultimate challenge.
Yeah.
That was.
We finally saw Hogan lose in a clean way, like for the first time ever in the modern Hulkamania era.
And in true Hogan fashion, it was more about him losing than the Warrior winning. They actually showed him leaving on those little like mini rings that they would bring him to the ring. So it was a lot about Hogan losing and not. It was about Warrior winning, but right. a lot about you know Hogan losing.
No, that's what he was like, man. It was about Hulk Hogan,
no matter what.
That's right. Well, very good list there, Tommy. For those that are just tuning in, we did lose Hulk Hogan today at the age of 71. We talked all about his legacy, the good, the bad, the ugly. You could rewind to the top of the program at 2 o'clock. Now, real quick, before we get back to your calls, WFN and the digital team have done a great job of presenting a quarter-century team. Because believe it or not, we are 25 years in to this new century. And so they had everyone around here vote. I voted, Tiki voted, Tommy voted, G voted, Boomer voted, BT voted, Sal voted, Big Mac voted, McPherson voted. Like everybody basically voted. I did hear that Al Cintron, I love Al, but Al writes me and says, you know, they left me out. I didn't get a chance to vote. And I said, is that true, Al? I was very upset.
Right.
I look at the email chain. He was emailed.
So he just didn't vote.
He didn't check his company email. I'm like, Al. He's like, well, I don't check that email. I said, well, you have to. You can't say you weren't asked to vote when they asked you to vote.
But unlike you, because they don't send it to your company email.
Yes, they do.
They send it to you?
They send it to both. They send it to my company
right,
email plus
Al
my personal.
Al just doesn't get both.
Hold mine! I mean, you got to check your company email. This is on Al. I love Al, and I wish he voted, but come on.
And I love Al, too, but how do you not? How does one not check?
What would have swayed? What would have been different?
I don't
there
know.
There was a couple of tiebreakers that came down to this.
There
some
were.
Of these things.
See, I didn't know that there were any tiebreakers.
It was a very big one.
Well, we're about to do the baseball one. Are there any baseball tiebreakers?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to go through the positions. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you if I agree or disagree, you too, Teak. Right. And then when we get to the tiebreaker, you let us know, okay?
Okay.
Right,
okay.
And then we got to discuss what Al would have done.
Okay, fair enough.
And if anybody tries to spin this in a positive way, you can kiss my ass.
The catcher was Mike Piazza. I got to tell you. And
over
Jorge Posada, Jorge. Really. I love Mike. When you look at the fact that Posada was here for so much longer during this century, was a part of two championship teams. You were eliminating 99 and 98 with Mike.
Mm-hmm.
A year and a half of some great stats and success. I think you can make a great argument for Posada. In fact, I kind of would. I mean, was Mike a better player? Of course he was. But if we're talking about this century?
How much of Mike Piazza's Met tenure contributed to him being a Hall of Famer?
Half of it. I mean, it's half and half.
Half and half?
Yeah. He's half a Dodger. I think he had better years with the Dodgers, but he got to a World Series with the Mets.
But he's still a Hall of Famer.
100%.
And that's what I think that's what sways people. Even if it's just how you feel about him, not the actual statistics that matter.
I think what swayed people is they just look at Mike and say he's better than Jorge Posada, which no one is going to argue with, or at least most people wouldn't argue with. But if we're looking specifically at the century, we are now eliminating 99 and 98, I think Posada has a slight edge.
Not to mention his 10 years with the Dodgers and his non-Yankee or non-Met.
But that doesn't count because I was in the 90s anyway.
I know, that's what I mean.
So, right, I'm eliminating that.
But I'm telling you, some people will look at him and say, oh, he's a Hall of Famer.
Right.
That includes the Dodgers.
No, I agree. And you're going to see a lot of this because I hate to jump to center field, but Carlos Beltran defeated Bernie Williams. And I know that there were a lot of Yankee fans that were like, how could you do that? It's actually not even close. Like, it's almost embarrassing to suggest Bernie over Beltran, especially when you're just including this century. It's 2000 and beyond. And so if you're just thinking about what Bernie did for the Yankees, and that's it, and how Beltran struck out against Wainwright, sure, I could see why you'd say Bernie Williams, but if you're following the quarter-century rules, it's clearly Beltran over Bernie, and we got that right. Pete Alonso at first base is the correct answer, but it's close. He has the edge on Teixeira.
Mm-hmm.
He has the edge on Giambi. If you look at the stats, Giambi is closer to Alonso than Teixeira is. But, you know, Mark played great defense. He was a part of that 2009 championship team. I know that championships may push some over the edge, but I think overall we got it right. Pete Alonso's the first baseman. Second base is Robbie Cano. Let's just move on.
Yeah.
I mean, he is. You can argue Daniel Murphy or Jeff McNeil over there, or are you good with Robbie Cano, the Yankee?
Robbie's fine.
Yeah, I'm good with
it. Yeah.
Derek Jeter's the shortstop. You mentioned yesterday that there was someone who worked here who voted for Jose Reyes.
That's correct.
It's Derek Jeter.
Of course.
Third base.
Tie.
Third base was a tie.
This is where we had a tie. And we had a vote off. And perhaps if Evan would check his company emails, he would have voted in that vote
off. I was in Europe.
You were in Europe. What does that have to do with checking your email?
So you voted on the whole thing before you left for Europe.
Correct.
And so when you got an email while you were in Europe, you didn't see it.
I didn't see it, but I did get a text saying, have you voted? And I said, of course I voted. I was the first person to vote. Mm. I got bad news for you, though. If it was a vote-off between A-Rod and David Wright, here's a point I want to make. It's very, very close. And I think it's closer than people realize.
When you look at it, for David Wright?
I would have voted for Alex Rodriguez. I would have.
So you'd have won anyways.
Yes. Right. And I want to.
What do you think Al would have done?
Al would have voted for David Wright. Hmm. No question. He's a shill.
So Alex still would have won.
He's a Met fanboy. I'm kidding, Al.
Hold mine!
I'm kidding, Al. I don't know what Al would have done, but A-Rod and David are very close. Like, if you look at their numbers, because remember, it's A-Rod from 04 when he joined the Yankees, and it's David's entire career.
Right.
I think the edge that Alex has is the championship. Like,
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
David Wright said it in a ceremony. He apologizes for not delivering a world championship. A-Rod did, and he was the best player on that 09 team, or at least one of the best players on that 09 team. I think the numbers are close. The steroid stuff, I'm sorry. Like, I don't disqualify people because of the steroids.
Right, nobody thinks about it anymore.
If you choose to, that's fine.
Right.
I don't. But I think it's very close between Alex and David.
Now,
is my point.
I heard secondhand, a little birdie told me that the swing off, I almost said, the vote off between A-Rod and David Wright was one vote. A-Rod won by one vote.
Wow.
Now, the urban legend goes is that that one vote, who must have been the last vote, was casted by Boomer Esiason. Again, secondhand, but it sounded like Boomer tipped the scales. You would have voted for A-Rod anyway, so
I would have voted for A-Rod.
It wouldn't have mattered. But
it was tough.
It's like, neck and neck.
First of all, you voted for who you voted for. So all I'm doing is voting again for A-Rod because I voted for A-Rod to begin with. Mm-hmm. And I'm admitting that it was difficult. I think it's a lot closer than people realize. I am happy that it was a tie. I guess it shows that people do realize that it's very, very close. But I do think Alex had the slight edge. And we got it right.
So clearly the swing states, the people that voted for the Green Party, because obviously it would have ended in a tie again. So the people like you, Evan, that vote for Ross Perot voted for A-Rod.
What?
I mean, what?
I don't know what you mean.
Somebody had to have re-voted for A-Rod as opposed to David Wright.
Or no, someone voted for someone else.
Exactly. There was a third party, Tiki. So a third baseman that we're not thinking of.
Can I ask you a dumb question? What third baseman are we not thinking of that would have gotten a vote outside of David and Alex?
Well, you're the base. Like, think of the third baseman.
Let's go through it.
No, I know.
I mean, Mark Vientos? Who's been playing third base for the Yankees? Chase Headley?
Urshela.
Gio.
Happy fella.
Scott Brosius, right. Technically.
No,
you know what?
Now that
I'm thinking about this, why the hell did we have a vote off?
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.